Professional science communicators are constantly asked to make complex things simple to understand. Have you ever been asked to make a complex treatment, drug, or device simple enough to advertise on TV or a paid announcement? I'm Brian Allen with Serban Communications, and today I'm excited to introduce to you one of the most interesting artists in our medical illustration and animation program. She isn't an illustrator, and she isn't an animator. She's an award-winning voiceover actor who has built a name for herself as the voice of Big Pharma. As a former stockbroker on Wall Street, Debbie is a pro at meeting people, building trust, and learning what clients need. She has a professional theater background, an intelligent voice, and an authoritative yet comforting presence, all of which make her a perfect fit, not just for voiceover acting in general, but for bringing voice to medical narration. Debbie's healthy client list includes top medical animation studios like 3FX, Anatomy Blue, and Cognition Studio, pharmaceutical companies like Baxter, AstraZeneca, Novartis, and Novo Nordisk, and healthcare giants like Ogilvy Common Health. From our headquarters in Santa Barbara, I'm speaking to Debbie today via live audio link from her studio in New York City. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to sunny Santa Barbara.
Hi, Brian. Thank you very much for inviting me to Santa Barbara. I'd much rather be there than in cold New York City where I am right now.
Well, welcome. First off, I just have to ask, when you randomly hear your voice on TV or radio, does it sound strange to you still?
Yes, absolutely. I always get a little tingle, a little ooh kind of excitement when I hear myself. Sometimes, too, I hear my colleagues, and sometimes I'll hear projects that I auditioned for and didn't book, and then my ears perk up and I try and learn what it is that actually booked the job. But it's not just TV and radio. I had a funny experience once. We all get robocalls all the time. And
oh, far too many, let me tell you.
Right. You know, very quickly, you can assess that it's a robocall and you hang up. So once my phone rang and I answered the phone and you're waiting to hear, this time I paused because while I knew it wasn't a real person, it also sounded like a very familiar person. And it turned out that person was me calling myself in a robocall. And I had the distinct pleasure of hanging up on myself.
Wow, that's great. Hey, you've worked with some of the most creative studios and biggest clients in our industry. Can you share with our listeners some of the most interesting projects you've worked on?
Sure. There are a number of members of the AMI that I've had the pleasure of working with, some that you mentioned in the introduction, and also Biomedical Visuals, Lisa Clark, Tammy Tulpa, Johns Hopkins, University of Illinois, University of Toronto. And for them, I've done a range of projects like MOAs and MODs and some patient engagement projects, some e-learning. So one in particular that I was really proud of is a video that I narrated that was presented to a potential donor to gain funding for cancer research. And they won $50 million. So that was a proud moment.
Oh my.
Aside from the medical work that I do, I'm also one of the voices on Pandora. So if you're listening to Pandora Radio, you might hear me. I've also voiced many museum audio tours, one for the Met and the Smithsonian, the Guggenheim, where I had worked a long time ago, the New York Botanical Garden, even the National Library of Medicine. I did an audio tour for them many years ago called Visible Proofs, Forensic Views of the Body.
Wow, that's a lot of coverage, a lot around New York. You know, speaking of New York, Debbie, I heard a funny story a while back ago that you had once done the voice for Lady Liberty. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
It's true. I was the voice of the Statue of Liberty on the audio tour that people could take when they went out to visit Ellis Island and the statue. And I had the distinct pleasure of saying, "Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp," cries she with silent lips. "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door."
Bravo. Fantastic.
Written by Emma Lazarus back in 1883.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. I've got to imagine that in addition to that, you've taken on an identity or two of somebody else. What else have you done?
Part of my business is also live announcing. And so in the business, we call that VOG, or Voice of God. That's the, "Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin. that voice. I've done a number of fun award shows in the Voice of God vein. And I also had a really interesting project in Scotland that I went to Edinburgh to record for text-to-speech, where basically you are recording words that don't necessarily make sense in sentences, but you're creating a new language that they're going to break into little pieces and concatenate and put together. And so you become the voice of a corporation that wants to use text-to-speech for their employees so that any document can be read to somebody wherever they are.
Now, this might seem a little crazy, but along those veins, what do you think differentiates you from other voiceover artists?
I think I bring a wealth of experience to the table, not just through years of training as an actor and thousands of projects that I've voiced, but my background is very diverse. My father was a renowned entomologist, considered the contemporary father of forensic entomology. And because of his work and earning Fulbrights, we lived in Italy for a couple of years. We traveled to Mexico many summers. So I learned to speak those languages also. And on top of traveling, which gives you an appreciation for the differences among people and also our commonality, I worked at the Guggenheim in PR. I worked on Wall Street as a stockbroker. My family's been touched by 9/11. By learning disabilities, by addiction challenges. So my heart and my mind have experienced a lot. And I think that makes me a more sensitive person and a more sensitive professional. Being successful in this business is not only being talented, that's really important, but also how you comport yourself, how you conduct business, how you communicate with your clients, how helpful you can be in making their job as easy as possible.
Absolutely. You left off one thing, which is you're a whole lot of fun to work with.
Well, I leave that to my clients to say, but thanks. The old saying, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. So,
well, hey, with so much diversity in your portfolio, what made you begin to focus on medical projects as a specialty? And then once you decided to do so, how did you ultimately build a name for yourself?
Well, I built a name for myself one client at a time. And I think that's how it's done. You built a reputation through relationships, proving yourself that you're value added, that you can be a trusted advisor, that you put your clients' interests before your own. Sometimes I may not be the right talent for a project, or as happened recently, I had voiced something for the competitor, so they couldn't use my voice. And in that instance, then I take on the role of audio producer and I help my clients find other voices. So I go out and do casting based on what it is that they're looking for, be it a man, be it a female, young, old, somebody who has an accent or not. And also I work with composers to create original scores for the projects. So basically my attitude is let me help you in any way I can, even if that means that I'm referring you elsewhere.
You know, our listeners might be wondering why a voiceover artist chose to promote themselves in a marketing program, our marketing program, traditionally dedicated to illustrators and animators. Now, what drew you to get involved in the Association of Medical Illustrators and with the Medical Illustration and Animation Marketing Program in particular?
Well, I decided I'm going to run with the bulls, or in this case, the pros. And I wanted to be in the same community of people who I am serving at some point in their projects. So, we're all actors on the same stage of the same play. We just don't appear necessarily at the same time. There's one person in particular who introduced me to the AMI, and that was James Archer of Anatomy Blue. He and I have collaborated on a lot of projects. And he said it was a great community of people that I might want to get to know. And I started attending the conferences a few years ago and have slowly built relationships and friendships that way.
In our past conversations, you and I have talked a lot about the importance of marketing, which can be tough for artists of all disciplines. You seem to have successfully incorporated marketing into your business routine. You're an active blogger and a tweeter, hundreds of followers, use social media. How exactly does social media fit into your business?
Knowing your audience and where they like to engage is super important. Not every platform, not every social platform is for everyone. So each business, each artist or voice artist or each professional has to find what works best for them and where they get the most engagement, right? So together with my marketing manager, we're consistently monitoring my social platforms and finding new ways to connect with all the different communities in my personal and my business life. For now, my business community mostly engages with me on Twitter. My handle is @DebbieIrwinVO. and LinkedIn, but I also have Facebook and Instagram accounts because I get some traction there as well.
Yeah, you also have a new blog series out. Could you tell us a little bit about your VO Now blog?
Basically, the idea behind that is to give back to my community, and also to help people understand a little bit more about voiceovers and the world of a voiceover artist. People tend to think that it's a really cool job and a really easy job. It's very cool. That's true, but it's not so easy. I like to try to humanize some of the experiences and offer advice to help people learn the best way to be professional in a session, or what people are looking for, how to hire a voiceover talent, or how to direct them. Actually, I'm going to be a special contributor to Backstage Magazine, and I've gone to universities to speak to graduate students, undergrad and graduate students, about medical narration so that they can learn early on what's important.
Like the importance of integrating a professional voiceover into their animations, and then how to work with voice talent.
I'm going to Yale next month to give a talk, as a matter of fact.
I'm not surprised. I am a big fan of your blog, so I'm going to suggest to our listeners, if you liked the professionalism, the professional development that comes from Debbie's background, I would highly recommend that you plug into her blog. It's a great place to get insight and resource. So, Debbie, so how do you see medical voiceover evolving in the next, say, 5 to 10 years? You know, many cutting-edge studios are turning to VR and AR technologies. Do you see a place for it in virtual reality applications?
Absolutely. It's just going to continue growing, and I've already seen VR projects coming in. It's interesting to me because the language of the scripts is different. So instead of click on the picture to get more information, the directives are look up at the flag in the right-hand corner. So your eyes are actually directing the program to take you to new places, as opposed to your hands and clicking on things. So it's fascinating, and I think it will be interesting to see all the ways in which it's going to be applied.
That's so fantastic, Debbie. Sounds like it's going to be a very exciting year for you. Before we run out of time, how can our listeners learn more about working with you? What's the best way for them to reach out to you, talk to you about their projects?
Just visit my website, debbieirwin.com. DebbieIrwin.com.
Well, you can also find Debbie over at our website as well. It's the medillis.com site. That's medillsb.com. I want to thank you, Debbie, for coming on air with us today and spending time with us. Your story is fantastic. To our listeners, feel free to reach out to us online. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And till we speak again, Debbie.
Thank you, Brian. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure indeed.
Take care, Brian.
You too, Debbie. Bye-bye.